Please stand as we prepare to read God's Word, turning first to the Gospel of John. Our first text will be from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and then after that we will read from our sermon text, Proverbs 4. John 14, verses 1 through 7. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known also my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And now turning over to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 through 27. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Please be seated. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you that you have been the God who has revealed himself. And we thank you that you have given us your word to be a light to us that points us ever toward your Son, in whom there is forgiveness of sins. We ask that your word would take root deeply in our hearts, that you would work by your Spirit to bring about ever more conformity into the image of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. As we come to this text of Proverbs 4, there is a simple question that we must keep in mind. Do you trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? Are you receiving and resting in Christ alone for your salvation? And if you are, then you know this salvation in Jesus Christ. You know the end. You know where you're going. And the question is, what is the way that God has set before you? Well, this is how the father in Proverbs 4, speaking to his son, begins. He begins with this understanding that his son knows the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And his earnest desire for his son is that he would choose this path of wisdom, which takes us to our first section in verse 10. The Father begins with a simple command. Hear. Or you could say, listen. And there are many different ways that someone can tell you to listen. Perhaps you've been told to listen up. Perhaps you've listened, sitting at attention, giving all outward appearance of having heard what someone is saying, but your mind is not engaged. This is not what the Father here has in mind. He says, listen, hear my son. And right there, we get the tone. Is this merely a command that's being issued, a cold, distant command? He calls his son, my son. Have you ever heard one of your parents speaking about you and saying, listen to what your child did today? You know what's coming. And you know the response that engenders in you. But what if one of your parents says to the other, listen to what my child did today? That's the tone of voice here for the Father in Proverbs 4. It's a loving tone. Because the Father is trying to do something. He has a motive here in speaking with his son. And if you've ever tried to persuade someone to do what is so obviously right in the choice between right and wrong, you know that you cannot make that choice for them. You cannot force them into compliance. And the Father here has the wisdom to know that he must persuade his son. He must win him. And so he says, accept my words, or grasp my words, not merely hear, not merely listen, but hold this close to you. This is a father who speaks from the experience of his life and desires that his son, too, would receive the blessings of life that he has experienced by walking this path of wisdom. And we see that there's a greater context in this conversation in verse 11. We see that the father has been speaking to the son for chapters already, and just by doing that, he has not made his son merely neutral. He's not set him in between two paths and said, now choose. He has done what every parent wishes for their child when they leave the house. He has set his son on the path of wisdom. He says, I have placed you here. I have done this. Now you must walk. By extolling this virtuous, wisdom-filled life, the father has set him on a path that is actually owned by a character in Proverbs. Her name is Lady Wisdom. And she's been introduced already, and she'll be introduced more fully later, but the father knows that the son needs to see this for what it is. One path is owned by Lady Wisdom and leads to life, and the other is owned by Dame Folly and leads to death. There is no neutrality here. And so the father, in persuading this son, begins by describing what this path looks like. How do you know the path of wisdom? Well, you can see in verse 12, just imagine, if you will, for a moment, a life before paved sidewalks, before cars, before horse and buggy, where if you wanted to go somewhere out of the city, you were on a dirt trail that looks like the Pacific Crest Trail or Daly Ranch or any of these wonderful places to go where you inevitably worry you're going to roll your ankle. Every path that you've trodden in your life looks like this, even the smooth paths. And you go into the city and the streets are cobbled. And if you've walked on a cobblestone street, you know it's sure footing compared to the side of a hill, but it's still a little bit treacherous. And so what the father is describing to the son here is this nearly unimaginably smooth and straight and level path that he's set upon. It doesn't matter if he walks or if he runs. There is no hindrance to his step along the path of wisdom. Every footfall lands secure. There are no rocks. There's no sand. There's no roots growing up to pull your toes and make you fall. There is nothing here that would cause you to stumble. And so, having been shown what this beautiful path looks like, this sure, straight footing that's level, how do you know, if you're the son here, to stay on this path? Well, there is, in fact, a guide along the path of wisdom. And her name is instruction, as we see in verse 13. Or you could say, if you wanted to translate this differently, you could say discipline. And this is the type of instruction, the type of discipline that shows where you've been wrong and corrects you. That's what this discipline is. And she only leads along the sure path of wisdom. She will not lead down the path of folly. And like a mountain guide, she is indispensable. And so he is called to cling to wisdom, cling to discipline. Mount Rainier in Washington State stands pretty high over Seattle. You can see it from a great distance off. And it leads many people who live there to become familiar with that. They see the mountain every day of their lives, and they hear of their friends summiting this mountain in flip-flops, and they think, how hard could it be? And sometimes they'll go up that mountain and they'll start to see the guided tours turning around and coming back because the weather has started to turn. But they'll say, I don't need to turn around. I don't need a guide. I can continue on. I'm smart enough. I'm clever enough to know the way. And my uncle spent decades of his life pulling them off of the mountain because they did not trust to a guide. And that's the urgency in the Father's voice here. Cling to discipline. Cling to instruction. Is it any wonder that he says, she is your life? That's the attitude to have toward discipline. But what of when there's a fork in the road before you? How do you know which path belongs to Lady Wisdom? Well, the Father says, look at who's on the path. Just take a look. Because there are wicked and evil men out there. And they will not be found on the path of wisdom. They travel the path of folly. That's what he says in verse 14. Cozying up to these men, participating in their ways, does not put them on the path of wisdom. It puts you on the path of death. Is it any wonder that the Father is so adamant that you should stay away from the path of wickedness? Of the 10 commands that he gives in this section, in verse 15, he gives 4 commands back to back. Do not go on it. Turn away from it. Pass on from it. How else could he describe staying away from the path of folly? You can see the tears in his father's eyes as he's pleading with his son. You must be active. You must be alert. You must turn aside from the path of wickedness, and you must stay on the path of wisdom. But why? Why does the father stress this so much? We turn to our second section of the text in verse 16. It starts with a little word, for. Or you could say, because. You see, the reason why the father is pleading so sincerely and so earnestly for his son to stay off of the path of folly and to keep his feet on the path of wisdom is that he knows a little something about these men on the path of folly. These men are so wicked, so evil, that sleep tantalizingly dances outside of their grasp unless they've done their daily work of wickedness. For them, trying to go to sleep with hands unstained by blood is like trying to go to sleep if you think you've left the oven on. They must get out of bed. They must put themselves to work. And they will get their rest when their hands are red with somebody's blood. And the Father is saying, do not let that be yours. Stay away from them. Don't listen to them. They will not sleep unless they've made a pilgrim stumble. And what's more, these men survive on wickedness. They sustain themselves daily on wicked and evil deeds. This is what gives them the energy to keep going. This is what gives them the strength to carry on. This is their very bread. And when they've satisfied their hunger, and they sit back happily at the table, and they think, let's keep the party going. What do they turn to? They turn to the wine of violence, and they celebrate their wrongdoing with more wrongdoing. And the sounds of their drunken revelry echo down the path of folly as they delight in the torment they inflict upon others. And the Father sees this for what it is, a perversion, an abomination, and death. But what about the path of wisdom? What about what the Father says in verse 18? What is there that's concealed along this path? Is there anything lying, lurking in wait along this path? No, the very path itself gleams with light. Even in the night, the path provides the light to walk safely and securely. And there is no gap between the illumination of the path and the illumination of the noonday sun. This path is always illuminated by the Word of God, which is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. There are no snares along the path of wisdom. There is nothing lurking in the shadows to trip up the unwary pilgrim. Those along this path take every step in full confidence in the light of day. But not so the wicked. What could be further from the shining path of righteousness that is Lady Wisdom's and the always dark, always gloomy path of folly? A footstep along this path is always taken in peril. And like a man stumbling through a dark room searching for the light switch, those who travel this path stumble, they fall, and they're in utter confusion. And this darkness is deep darkness. One step into this path, and left to your own devices, you cannot see where you came from anymore. Those who turn down this path, left to themselves, would be lost helplessly. And what started out as perhaps a simple diversion, a simple step onto a path that sounded like it was leading to a party, soon, you are the one being made sport of. And the simple sidestep has turned into a labyrinth of death. Is it any wonder that the Father pleads so urgently with his Son to stay on the path of wisdom? Is it any wonder that he pleads so urgently for his Son to choose the right path? And so the Father returns to his plea, this time with even greater urgency in our third section. In verse 20, he says, not merely now listen and grasp, but be attentive, incline your ear to my words. He says, sit up, turn your head, take notes. You know now where this path leads. I've told you, I've hidden nothing from you. Pay close attention. You must not let these words of wisdom escape from you. You must not. You must see reality as it is. Take this wisdom and keep it in your heart. Guard this wisdom. Never let this wisdom out of your sight. For if you turn your eyes away from wisdom and become preoccupied with something else and you turn back, where will wisdom have gone? Where will she be when you look for her again? And so the Father tells us, keep them. Guard them within your heart. Under lock and key. For these words of wisdom are a treasure worth guarding. They are life to anyone who finds them. This is the promise that's held out along the path of wisdom, is life. But it's more than that. How much of us has been corrupted by sin? Is there anywhere we could look in our hearts and say, here, sin has not laid hold? Now, we know that sin sinks its roots in deeply. But what does the Father say to this? Wisdom brings healing to all flesh. Sin does not honor boundaries, But wisdom does not have boundaries. There is no part of you that is off limits to the healing of the wisdom of God. This is a wonderful treasure, worth guarding, worth keeping. And so the Father gives new imagery in verse 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Keep. Guard. He says, build high towers to guard your heart. Gain a high vantage point. Not only should you guard wisdom, keeping your gaze fixed intently upon wisdom, but post centuries, keep a lookout. See the enemy while he's still on the horizon and put a stop to him far from your gates. Do not let him gain a foothold into your heart. You see, this is the only command that is word for word the same from our first section to this last section. Guard. It's the exact same word. Guard discipline. Guard your heart. For what are the stakes? The very extent of life is what you're guarding in your heart, lest they be taken captive and turned against you. And so what does the Father say this guardianship looks like? Well, he says, let no deceit be found upon your lips. Who is it who's been lying from the beginning, if not our enemy? And the Father says, do not let him take up residence upon your lips. Keep crooked speech that wanders to and fro, not going anywhere in particular, not looking for a place to hang its hat. Keep that far from you. He goes so far as to say, remove it from your lips. This is no pretense of perfection here. The Father is not saying, you've already been good, keep going. He says, remove crooked speech from your lips. And how do you train your lips to speak only what is straight and not what is crooked? Do not participate in devious talk. Keep such speech far from you. It may seem that it leads nowhere or that it's innocuous, but it leaves in its wake a trail of destruction like a Midwest tornado. Put such talk far from you. But there is more to what it looks like to guard your heart. The Father is also concerned for where you place your eyes. He says, fix your eyes upon the things that wisdom directs you to. What should be the object of your gaze? Fix your eyes upon the Lord. Fix your eyes upon steadfast love, upon faithfulness, upon instruction, upon discipline, upon justice, upon Christ himself, who is your life. Keep your attention fixed on this. Do not pay attention to the glittering distractions that would draw you from this path. For though they are alluring, though they are enticing, there is a hook hidden in that lure. So look what is before you. Watch where you're going. Remember where you are. Remember where you have placed your feet and keep your feet on the right path. And in verse 26, we see that in so doing, you'll find that your way is sure. It is established. It is permanent. It is enduring because now your way is the way of wisdom. So swerve neither to the left nor to the right. Walk straight forward, knowing that the instruction of the Lord leads straight down the path of wisdom. And the Father gives one final command. Turn your foot from evil. Make no mistake. Evil will seek to draw you aside. Evil will entice. It will offer many delights and make promise after promise after promise. And it's foolish to think that those are merely empty promises. Those are not merely empty. They are filled with death. And so the Father, with tears in his eyes, pleads with his Son, turn your foot from evil. And so I ask you once more, do you trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? Brothers and sisters, this passage is full of commands and full of promises. Are these commands burdensome? Make no mistake, if you are not in Christ Jesus, if you do not know Him as your Savior, if you are not trusting Him alone for your salvation, if you look anywhere else, including your own keeping of the law, if you look to those things for your salvation, this law of God binds you like chains to an immovable weight that you cannot budge. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. But is that what God's law is for those who are in Christ? For you who are in Christ Jesus, this is not a burden for you to bear. This is not a weight that you must carry across the finish line in order to secure your salvation. Your salvation has been given to you freely in Jesus Christ. He Himself fulfilled the law on your behalf. And now God's law, far from being a curse for you, becomes the very guardrails for you as you walk along the path of wisdom, showing you the sure, true way forward. Your walk along this path does not add 1 ounce to your right standing before God. But having been given right standing before God, how else could you live? This is what it means to keep in step with the Spirit. See, Proverbs 4 calls us to keep wisdom, to guard wisdom, and in so doing, to hold fast to life. And this command, far from being a burden, becomes a joy for those who are in Christ Jesus, where we see that which we could not do being done in our lives as we are walking led by the Spirit in the path of wisdom. And so, have you turned aside from the path of wisdom? Have you taken a step? Have you heard the siren song down the path of folly? And have you stepped in that direction? And you wonder, what do you do now? You trust in Jesus Christ. You will not find your way back on your own, but He will bring you back. Trust in Christ alone for your salvation. Turn from sin in repentance and turn in faith to Christ. Embrace Christ and through this gift of faith, lay hold of Him who is your very life. And when He appears, you too will appear with Him in glory. Through faith in Christ, we have been made alive together with Him. We were created in Him for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we might walk in them. See, God's law shows us the very footsteps of Christ, the sure ground on which we are to stand. And seeing God's path of wisdom through this lens of Christ's work of redemption, the words of the psalmist make complete sense. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul, and the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. His path of wisdom is not abstract. It's not difficult to see. For Christ, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God, has come in the flesh. And He is the way and the truth and the life. And in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And just as we are called to guard wisdom in our hearts, even more so, the wisdom of God incarnate, Jesus Christ Himself, guards us just as He prayed in the garden. He will not lose a single one. He is our sure inheritance. And He indwells us by His Spirit, so that by His grace we might be more and more conformed to His image. So take heart, brothers and sisters, and walk along the path of wisdom, knowing that though the way is not easy, though others will seek to call you aside from this path, you have been set on the sure path of everlasting life, free from the power of wickedness. May the Lord grant us ever more faith that we might bear witness well to the grace poured out upon us, that we might strive ever onward on the sure path of victory won for us by Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the great salvation that You have given to us in our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You that You have not left us without a guide in our pilgrimage, but that by your word and spirit you strengthen us and equip us to keep in step with the Spirit and to walk in the footsteps of our Savior. We ask that you would make us even more to be a pilgrim people who desire to strive onward earnestly. By your grace, we ask that you would make us live more and more into Christ, to be found in him. May your word dwell richly in our hearts. In the hour of our testing, may it be shown that it is not we who live, but Christ who lives in us. In his name we pray. Amen.